Well, if you have your Bible, please turn to Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. That is the text before us today. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. I wonder what you would make of a farmer who let his best and finest field lie fallow year after year after year after year. I think you would probably say to yourself, that man doesn't have much sense. That field has so much potential, and yet he's not using it. It's just lying there, full of weeds, doing nothing. Today, surrounded as we are by the fruits of the harvest, and so thankful for the harvest that we have been enjoying, and the weather, we are so, so thankful, I hope. And I trust and pray that all the farmers in the kingdom of Mourne are thankful to the Lord for the wonderful harvest weather that we have been enjoying over this past month or so. Growing up on a farm, as I did, I can remember harvests where we were, as it were, up to the glar, if you know what glar is, in a potato field. And it's not very easy bringing in potatoes and crops when the weather is not really with you. But the weather has been with us this year, and we are so thankful, I trust, to the Lord. But as I say, this text that's before us this morning, break up your unplowed or your fallow ground. And I want us just to think about this for a little while this morning. Notice the concept of fallow ground. Most of us are familiar with this. I don't have to dwell on it. Fallow ground lies empty and unproductive. In Hosea's day, the fallow ground would have been hard and often covered with weeds. It was agriculturally just not going anywhere. It was very, very unfruitful. And Hosea picks up on this common theme, which the people would have understood. They would have looked around them and seen the fallow ground, seen the ground that was lying covered with weeds, the unploughed ground. They would have known exactly what he was talking about. Indeed, he's not the only prophet to use this picture. Jeremiah, to a later generation, would say the same thing. Jeremiah 4:3, break up your unploughed ground, says Jeremiah, and do not sow among thorns. So it's a good term to describe people who are often doubly resistant to the good seed of the Word of God. On top, if you like, of a tangled growth of weeds and other preoccupations, and underneath there is a crust of a hardened will and attitude that is resistant to the work of God. As I said, it's like a field in which the most, it's like a farm in which the most productive field, the field with the most potential, is left waste, uncultivated, unproductive, unfruitful, overgrown with weeds. Spiritually, what is this field of which we speak this morning or this afternoon? Well, let's call it, for the sake of this message, let's call it the field of the soul. That part of your makeup and my makeup that is eternal. We live in an age where increasing numbers neglect the right cultivation of this field. Why is that? Well, if I could put it this way, some people are too busy in other fields to worry about the field of the soul. They're busy in the field of the body, we might say, involved with their work, involved with their family, involved with sport, involved in the pursuit of pleasure, involved in the acquiring of more money. Or they're maybe busy working in the field of the mind, you might say. The pursuit of further education, the pursuit of learning, the pursuit of advancement socially and culturally. Not, of course, that there's one thing wrong with any of those things. The point is that if you're busy in those other fields and you ignore the field of your soul, you're a very foolish person. Remember the story in the New Testament that Jesus told about a man who fell into exactly that situation. The story in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, the farmer who had done well, but he had concentrated, if you like, on the field of the body. And the Lord said concerning that man who had sought to extend his farm and build more barns and get more machinery and get more of this and that and the other thing, but he forgot about his soul, and the Lord said, "You fool, you fool. This very night your soul will be required of you." And there's people like that in every generation. There's people like that sitting in every harvest service. People who are too busy in other fields, and they've forgotten about the field of their soul. Many today seem to have forgotten the spiritual side. Maybe they don't believe that they have a soul, but they have. And it lies like fallow ground. You and I are more than flesh and blood. There is that part in you and I. People talk about a spiritual vacuum that only God can fill, that only the Lord Jesus Christ can fill. And when you think about it, if you want evidence for that, why is it that when you look at the world of literature and the people who have written the poems and the books and the songs, and again it speaks about this part of human life, that people are searching for something that they haven't quite found yet. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I can't get no satisfaction. And so on and so forth. Why is that? Because we have a soul. And it is only the Lord Jesus that can come and satisfy. So the message today is that there is fallow ground. But the heart of this message is that we need to break it up. Break it up. Now, if any of you had fallow ground, and how would you break it up? Well, you would get your impressive tractor and plough out, or rotavator, and you would soon break it up. But we're not talking ploughs or rotavators here this morning. We're talking spiritually. How is the fallow ground to be broken up? Well, the text tells us, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Let me pick up on a couple of those words that are there. Let me pick up on the sowing. Let me pick up on the seeking. The writer says here, you need to sow in a certain way. You need to seek in a certain way. Sow in righteousness. The eternal principle, which is often spoken about at the harvest time, is that you and I will reap what we sow. That is an eternal principle. And you can see that worked out in your own life. If you sow in a certain way, you'll reap in a certain way. How are you sowing this morning? How are you sowing spiritually? And seeking, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And this is at the very essence of the message that I seek under God to try to leave with you today on this Harvest Sunday 2016. That there must be a sowing after righteousness. There must be a seeking after God. because there is fallow ground all around us and within us. That is the fact of the matter. It was the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones who said, speaking about these things, the way to obtain salvation is to seek it. And what makes one seek for it is that one realizes one's need of it. The reality is, sadly today, that there are many who do not want to be told, as they see it, how to live and what to do and what to believe. There are many today in the kingdom of Mourn who do not believe that they need a saviour. There are many today in the kingdom of Mourn, and from this time last year to today, the harvest, how many times have they been in a place of worship on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day? The answer is zero. And they claim to be great Protestants. I do not understand it. Zero. It is obvious that they do not believe the gospel. It is obvious that they do not believe that they need a saviour. It is obvious that they do not believe that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to flee from. Otherwise they would be here or in their church. But they do not believe these things. And people will continue to make feeble and poor excuses. Sometimes, thankfully not very often, ministers hear these things. But these are like weeds. The building is too cold. The building is too warm. The pews are too hard. The minister did something that annoyed me 20 years ago. They're all hypocrites in there, you know. I don't like this. I don't like that. The hymns are too old. The hymns are too new. The hymns are too fast. The hymns are too slow. The sermon is too long. I preferred that other preacher. It's all weeds, weeds, weeds. But here's the point. Let it begin to dawn on the soul of a man or a woman that it is appointed once to die, but after this, the judgment. That each one of us will one day stand before the judgment seat of God to give an account of himself. That each one will stand before what Revelation speaks of as the great white throne of God, and the books will be opened. I tell you, let people begin to think of that and begin to believe that, and they will change. But they don't believe it. Let a man or a woman begin to think on these things and believe these things. And I tell you, the paltry excuses and reasons for not coming to church will quickly fade away like snow in a ditch on a March or an April day. Allow me to pitch it differently. And it's lovely to see parents here. It's lovely to see you here with your children. Let a parent realize that their children are growing up in a rapidly changing world where the plain, accepted, traditional moral standards of yesterday are now stood completely on their head. But the one place where these traditional standards are maintained and must be maintained is in Bible-believing churches like this one. Let a parent realize that, and wanting something for their children that is steady, that is time-honored, that is sound, they might think twice before throwing God and the whole church bit out the window. Tell me this morning, what is it that's keeping you from the Lord? What are the weeds that have grown up within the field of your soul? What is preventing you today from coming to Jesus Christ or from coming back to Jesus Christ? Because I know and I believe in my soul and spirit this morning that there are people here. And yes, one time you made that profession, one time you walked with the Lord, but you have drifted. The weeds have grown and the ground is fallow. You need to get away from these weeds. You need to pull these weeds out of your life and live for the Lord. And that's my point as I come to the third message here. It is time. It is time. And Hosea says here, it is time to seek the Lord. We are blessed, I believe, in many, many ways in this part of the world. More than blessed. But I'm sure I don't have to convince you that the days in which we live are perilous and evil. I don't have to illustrate that. You just watch your television screens this week, and that will be borne out before you. I was reading recently of one preacher and writer in England who, looking at the situation in Britain and America, and looking at the situation in other parts of the world where people do not have the quarter of what we have, and yet the Church of Jesus Christ is growing. What's happening in our nation? What's happening in America? Our world has problems. Our world has massive problems. When the so-called world's greatest nation boils it all down to the choice between either Donald or Hillary, we have problems. We do. And our country has problems. And I sometimes wonder, are we reaping what the Bible describes as a whirlwind from God? Are we reaping a judgment on our Western society in this day and age that is far too sophisticated now to believe in God? That is so sophisticated that it will not any longer tolerate the plain teachings of the Word of God. You will reap what you sow. And I fear that in coming days and years, if the Lord has not returned, that our children and grandchildren will grow up in a generation where they will reap what we have sown. Folks, it is time to seek the Lord. It is time. It is time. And I say to you today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And I have said many things this morning, maybe some of them quite strident, almost quite dramatic, but I can assure you I don't do it for effect. It is time to seek the Lord for your own sake, for the sake of your own family, for the sake of your own children, for the sake of your own grandchildren, for the sake of those around us. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time. A word to a struggling Christian before I finish. This word came to people, and for those who heard it, they would have gone out and they would have sweated and toiled to pull out the weeds and to break up the fallow ground and the unplowed ground. Brother and sister in Christ here this morning who may be struggling because you know things are not right in your own soul. And it won't be altogether easy for you to go out and to begin to pull out the weeds and the thorns and to break up the ground. But see that these things have dulled your love for the Lord Jesus. See that these things have blunted your usefulness for the Lord Jesus. See that these things have reduced your spiritual productiveness and fruitfulness for the Lord Jesus. And allow that, as you look into your own heart, to convince you, yes, it is time afresh at this harvest 2016 to seek the Lord in a new way and in a fresh way, to call upon him, to begin to really sow into my life in the midst of all the other stuff that has to be done at home and on the farm and in my business, to really sow into my life, to really sow into my family life, to really sow into my church life, and to reap something worth reaping. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes. Until he comes. And the choir, after the benediction, will sing of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Or until he comes in renewing power. And so this morning, I say to you, sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time. It is time to seek the Lord. Let us pray. Father, the preacher preaches and then he is silent. And we pray, gracious God, that in the silence now and through this day and coming days, that the great preacher, the Spirit of the living God, will continue to preach into our souls and enable us to seek the Lord, to sow unto righteousness, to break up the fallow ground. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.